one place in Scripture, he looks at a church, and this is what is said. He said, I would like for you to remember your first love. You've lost your first love. I'm going to tell you something. In any relationship, when it gets rocky, you can tell where love is. You can tell where it's at because you can go back to something. Amen. There's something to go back to. Amen. There's a hand holding that can happen. Amen. There's a brush of a kiss. There's a time. And I know we're talking about God here. But let me tell you something. I need us to know that He's the lover of my soul. And if my relationship has grown cold with Him, I just need a few moments alone with Him. And that relationship can begin to be renewed. Amen. And He can take us back to that place where we first fell in love. It says, do the first works over. Amen. Go back. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. You can shake hands with someone and you make your way back to your seat. I have asked Sister Carrie to do something tonight. They went, some of the ladies were able to go to the ladies' conference. And so if you weren't, the Bible says that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so I'd like for her to give her testimony of ladies' conference for this year. Amen. God bless you, Sister Carrie.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Jesus is good, isn't He? He's amazing. We had a good time at ladies' conference. There's too much to talk about, really. I mean, we heard sermons about the fruit of the Spirit, sermons about how to walk when you get home from conference and how to maintain what you received, because that's important, too. You can't just go and get a spiritual high and then come home and let it all just drain right out. We had a good time. We had a good fellowship, good worship. The Spirit of the Lord was in the house. So I'm thankful for the times of refreshing, but I'm also thankful for what God's doing in this place because He's good no matter where you're at. If you're at conference or if you're at our home church, God is still good, and He's still moving. He's still working, and He is in control.
Amen. I told her she could take 2 seconds or 2 minutes, and she was closer to 2 minutes, don't you think? Amen. I'm trying to help her increase her faith. Amen. This is a little impromptu this year. Brother Daniel was able to go with Brother Tom and I, and several others had expressed a desire to go, and things didn't work out, so this isn't just about the three of us going. But since he's the newbie, I did not tell him about this. I'm springing it on him. So I want him just to come and do a 2 second or a 2 minute, whatever he feels on his heart about Dominion Conference. He's got lots of notes, so I may not get to preach tonight. Look,
I didn't even prompt him. Dangerous, dangerous waters. Amen. Amen. No, you don't want to get somebody to come from a powerful conference like that and hope they take a very short amount of time. Gotta make space. Amen. Amen. Just like our schedules, we have to make space for God each and every day. Hallelujah. So, Dominion 2024. I've been to a lot of different conferences. I've been to a lot of different conventions, rallies, AYC, NAYC, North American Youth Conference, AYC, Atlanta Youth Conference. But this past weekend has been something special. I can't say I've ever been in a place where we've had, five services back to back in a weekend? I mean, each service time slot was two services. So, I mean, and we had one minister got up and said that there was 3,000 people at the Friday night service. And 99% of those, maybe slightly off of my fractions, but 99% of those were men. 3,000 men in one building lifting up one name. Amen. And praising one God. Amen. With all their voice, all their strength, all their might. I didn't realize how crazy men can get when they worship. It was an eye-opening experience, and it was not a bad experience. It was a very good experience. And I encourage every man that is able to go. It is a very good experience. I'm looking for one note that I wrote down. Brother Jeff Ralston, he's a new minister to me. I've never heard of him before, but he did a tremendous job. And he said one phrase that I want to bring out, and it's about worship. And he said, worship has nothing to do with what you are going through, but everything to do with where you are going. Hallelujah. So today, or any time we see one of our brothers and sisters worshiping, let's not jump to the conclusion that everything's good.
That's right.
Because they're not, their circumstances does not predicate their worship, but their sight, where they are going. Because we as brothers and sisters in Christ have one goal in mind, and that is to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Our worship is determined by our destination, not by our circumstances. And I thank Pastor and Brother Hopewell for giving me the opportunity to come and inviting me along and putting up with me and my crazy driving for 20 hours straight. It was just wonderful, and it's a real privilege, and I'm looking forward to next year. And the Lord be with us. It will be a tremendous year once again. Hopefully to see some other brothers coming along too.
Amen. And I do believe that we're not trying to shame anybody. That's not it. Because I get nothing out of 20 hours of driving and it was seven services. You had two on Thursday night, two Friday morning, two Friday night. And then you had, maybe I mean 2, 4, 6, yes, 7. And so then one on Saturday morning. Every time somebody speaks, you're like, no one can do any better than that. So I was probably going to be a sit-down session for the rest of us. And they get up there, and they completely wreck your soul. And you see men all over that building standing up with their hands lifted up, just weeping. And not everybody there is right. Not everybody there is perfect. But you see men praising, like Brother Daniel said, one God for one purpose. And we need men. We need men who will allow the presence of God to affect their lives. Amen. And I did take some notes. I tried not to do. One year I went, I was constantly sitting there on my iPad typing. And so I tried to be kind of general with my notes and try to use them to prompt my memory with some things. But on Thursday night, Brother Damon McGee, who is the men's director for the Louisiana district, he talked about fighting for the fragments. And he did have a little bit of a personal agenda, which he admitted, and he told everybody that they had adopted this young little boy when his mother could not care for him. She was taken in by addiction, and I don't think they knew who the father was. And it sounds like y'all had some of the same stuff at ladies' retreat. So it almost sounded like we were sitting at the same retreat, just men's and women's. And the Lord was right there in the middle of it, just conducting it all. So he talked about that, and he talked about how several years ago they took him in and how he had the privilege recently to baptize him in Jesus' name and see him filled with the Holy Ghost. And he talked about fighting for the fragments. This is a fight for the fragments. The Bible says that Jesus told the disciples when he had broken the bread and the fish, that he told them, take up the fragments, that nothing be left, that nothing remain. And he's concerned about the fragments. And if you're a fragment today, raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Amen. You're a fragment. And you were broken off a piece of something miraculous. Amen. And you only fit back where you were broken from. Amen. And so as God begins to put us back together, we fit where he puts us. Amen. And so, but we're fighting for those fragments. And the story was about Rizba and her sons, how Saul and Jonathan and Rizba's seven sons, I believe it was, were all killed, and they were hung up on display. And she took a sackcloth and laid that down, and she fought for those boys day and night. And the analogy, you don't have to read much into this to understand that it wasn't for a day or two that she fought. And it wasn't for that she fought off the birds of the air. And it wasn't for a night or two that she fought off the beast that came in at night. The connotation from Scripture is that it was for a season, because it says, and until the rains came. So there was a season that she spent. And it's the fragments are worth fighting for. Now, this is what happened to a nation when David found out that Rizpah had taken this kind of care for her sons. He said, let's go get them down, and let's get Saul and Jonathan, and let's give them a proper burial. And the Bible says that when David had that committed and done that, that the Lord began to bless the land. Let me tell you something. There may be a reason for some things to come to pass, and they may not be good reasons that they come to pass, but you and I are charged with fighting for the fragments. And God will bless us when we fight for the fragments. Brother Josh Carson on the same night talked about what is your why. And our why has to be this one thing, and that is that we are pleasing unto the Lord. Amen? That we bring God glory. The lesson was talked about Jehu and the 10 calves, and the golden calves, and how Jehu was cast with a thing, and he really brings it out awesome. He talks about how the prophet talked to the younger prophet and told the younger prophet to go and tell Jehu. He said, you go and tell him, blah, 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 blah. And when you tell him, you turn around and run. Amen? You better run. And it was he put it together very nicely, and I thought it was great. So this prophet goes and tells him this, and when he leaves, everybody in the outer court's like, well, what did he tell you? Oh, nothing. But Jehu went, and he started to kill and to dismember those that were against the people of God, those that had gone awry, those that were doing things wrong. He was the one that took part in Jezebel and all that. That was during that era. So he's doing all this, but then it says, but then Jehu did not follow the Lord completely. Jehu did what it took to appease Jehu, because some things were going on in the church that Jehu didn't like. And Jehu took care of some things in the church, and I'm paraphrasing, he did not say it like this, but he took some care of some things in the church, but he did not completely follow after what the will of God was. We've got to completely do what is your why to bring God glory. So he brought Jehu glory. He didn't continue on to bring God glory. And then Brother Daniel talked about Brother Ralston, as he talked about giant slayers and city takers. It is good that we take the giant, but there's a city after the giant that needs to be taken, and how they went to Gad and they destroyed the birthplace of Goliath. And then they went from there to Ekron and they took the city of 122, I think he said it was, olive presses that they took, because there was more that God wanted for them than just to defeat the giant. There was a city to be taken. And there is a city to be taken, amen? Praise the Lord. And then Brother Kenneth Carpenter, who is the superintendent for the ALJC organization, he was there and delivered a powerful message called Keep This Man. And he talked about how that there was the prophet came out, and he had a young man to beat him in the face and to disfigure his face and then to put ashes upon his face. And then he met the king in the way, and he told the king, he says, this and this happened. There was a man in a field that a young man came unto him, and his charge was this: you keep that man. And he was an enemy, and he was charged with keeping him, because you don't let enemies loose. And the king said something to that effect, and when he took the ashes off of his face and he knew who he was, and he began to tell him, and there was something that God wanted to do through the king, amen? God gives us a space to do his will, amen? He gives us a space, but the only charge was to keep this man. And the thing was, is that there was, and I'm going to get the guy's name wrong because I forget, is it Benadad? I might have his name wrong. But anyway, they were defeated. They were fighting, and they were completely annihilating who God had intended for them to have victory over. But then some of them went into the inner court, the inner chamber, and they took sackcloth and put it on themselves, and they said, we have heard that if we present ourselves at mercy and tell them that we're at their mercy, that they'll let us go. And so he went out, and sure enough, that's what happened. And the story changes then, the narrative changes, because God said, if you let the man go, the same will be done to you and to your household. And so the thing is that we have to understand as people of God that we've been charged with keeping this flesh. Amen? We're not free of this flesh. We can't let this flesh do what it wants to do, go where it wants to go, say what it wants to say, be what it wants to be. We have been charged with keeping this man. And he began to talk about that, and it was very powerful. And all of these things should be on the Louisiana District UPCI page, and you can go and you can watch these. And it's about 11 hours, because the first one was 3 hours by itself. But I'm telling you, it's worth your time, man, woman, boy, or girl, it's worth your time to listen to it. Then on Friday night, Brother Joel Urshan talked about the gift of prophecy and how prophecy is a big word and how we use it sometimes to be spooky and to say this and to say that. But to assure you, anytime that we say that we are a prophet, self-proclaim, you can guarantee that we are not. That prophecy is something that God gives the ability for every man and woman and boy and girl to do, because it's to proclaim and to be a witness of Jesus Christ. It is not something spooky that only super spiritual people get to do. You and I can prophesy. We can tell of the goodness of God. We can speak the goodness of God. Amen? And so I was very thankful for that. A big word that had a lot of weight. But anyway, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then Brother Rima Duncan came in, and he talked about the miracle of the mended net. How God never will give us a harvest of fish, a harvest of souls, until we mend the nets. And that's what the disciples were doing. He talked of the two that were mending their nets and two wash nets. And then at the end of the story, he talked about how there was so much fish at the mending of the nets that they had to call on the other two to come bring their boats to help them. And I'm going to tell you something. God wants to give us a harvest, but as long as we're singularly selfish-minded, God will not give us a harvest until we say, Lord, whatever you do, if there's a harvest for this city, there's a harvest for the city next door. Pray for the cities around you. Pray for the pastors around you. Pray for the churches around you. Pray for God to deliver those cities, for God to give them into the hands of His church. Amen? And that is the miracle. And he talked about the washing of the net and how it's very important. A lot of people have trowels in their hand to build a kingdom. But he said a towel is more important than a trowel. We're not just kingdom builders. We're also to wash our brother's feet and to take care of our brother. Amen. Saturday morning, Brother Joel Urshan again came back and talked about the structure within. And he talked about the key word being instruction, and it talked about how the etymology of those words, and I can't go into all that because I'll be way off track tonight. But please, you would do yourself a favor by going and watching. We talked about how the word in Proverbs, I think it's 1:8, says, forsake not the instruction of your father, the law of your mother. I could have had those backwards because I'm not looking at it right now. But that is the gist of it, to forsake not the law, the instruction of your father. The father gives the instruction. He sets the structure in the home. And then the mother is the one that comes and hangs laws. And he mentioned, you keep your shoes. You take off your shoes right here when you come in the door. Your shoes go here. And you're sitting there and go, what in the world does that matter? Blah, 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 blah. But you don't understand in the full picture of it, she's trying to keep things out of the house. Amen? And so we may not understand, but our Father is our Father, our Heavenly Father, and our mother is the church. And if we may not understand the law of the church, but it's held on a structure. Amen? You can hang it on the structure. And we should be able to hang it on God's word. Amen? And again, he talked about the part of the scripture where they asked Jesus what is the greatest commandment, and they expected him probably to go, let me think about that and get back to you. But he didn't hesitate. He came right out and he told them. He said, the greatest commandment is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, and these are the greatest commandment, but on these two commandments hang. That's the structure. The structure is love. The structure is you got to love God and love your neighbor. And when you have that structure, you can hang everything else. Everything can hang on love. But if you don't have love, you can't hang a single cotton picking thing on no structure, because you got to have that structure of love. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? So now you've been to ladies' conference and men's conference in one night. Amen. God's good. I don't always think he is. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that every day I think that. Sometimes I wonder where I'm at, where he's at, where you're at, where everybody's at, what's going on. And some days are dark, amen. But the Lord sometimes sneaks up on our blind side and he reminds us, I am God. I am the I'm the lover of your soul. You didn't pick me, I picked you. You didn't come looking for me, I'm looking for you. And we get that backwards sometimes in this relationship with God. And so I want to preach to you tonight on a simple topic. Have you seen him? Amen. Have you seen him? The focus verse for tonight that I'd like to take from Mark 7:24 says this, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not. be hid. And I want you to think about that. He could not be hid. Amen. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray that your anointing would permeate this house, our hearts and our minds, God, to be a tent to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark 4 and 21 through 23 says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If you break that down, I know sometimes we look at that scripture and we say, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. We think of sin and we think of things, well, if you do this wrong, God's going to get you. He's going to show you out. But that's not what this is saying. This has nothing to do with that. Amen. This talks about a candle under a bushel or under a bed and not to be put on. It's made to be put on a candlestick, not to be put under the bed or under a bushel. But it says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest. God's not playing hide and seek with you. God's not trying to hide his truth from you. God's not trying to hide his word from you. Neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. Everything that was told, it'll come out in time. Amen. My word will accomplish that whereunto it is sent. You can write it down. It's going to happen because it is the word of God and it will last forever. If any man have ears to hear, there is our responsibility in all of that. If we want to know what God says, if we want to know what God has done, if we want to know what God is doing, we have to open up our ears to hear what he has to say. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Sister Carrie and I were talking, and, you know, I have something I have to do every couple of weeks. And I was telling her I had to do it. She said, well, it's already time. And you know how a lot of time flies, you know, especially when you're on a schedule. You want your life to get hectic, make a schedule. You say, well, it should simplify. No, it will simplify. But you'll look back and go, wow, man, it's time to do this or it's time to do that. I mean, I think I just replaced the air filters in the house just 2 weeks ago, but it's been a month. Time to replace them again, amen? And so that at our house, you don't do what you want to do. I mean, somebody likes it cold. But I mentioned that there was a day that I was deeply impacted. And what happened that morning was I was listening to a sermon that kind of produced what we are going to talk about tonight. And it talked about that he can't be hid. And I will tell you this, that I have looked for him. I sat and tried to think about how old I was when I became cognizant of the fact that there was a God and I wanted to know him. And it was young. It was young, young, young. I'm not going to say 5 years old, but I also remember that somewhere around 5 years old, we moved to Mobile, Alabama. And in that move, there hanging on the wall was my Sunday school paper that I brought from Sunday school. Sister Perez, you Sunday school teachers, listen to me. There was that Sunday school paper. I can see it right now. I can see the wall. I can't tell you what the trailer looked like. I can't tell you, but I can tell you that I was walking through there and we were leaving that trailer. We were moving. And I wanted that piece of paper. So there's something that happens in the heart of a child who's given the opportunity to know that God loves them. Amen? And so I know that I have always looked for him. Even from a small child, I have looked for him. Now, I have been deterred by this and that at times. I have been deterred. Is that how you say it? Detoured. I have been knocked off course. I've had opposition. I've had struggles. Amen? I've had setbacks, trials, bumps in the road, if you will. And I have turned to my own way at times. Not proud of the fact, but no use in hiding it. We all have. I almost said you have, but you have. Amen. My flesh has had its strong desires to turn to its own path. But my heart has been set on finding him. And as Brother Carpenter was preaching the other night, and he got to that point, I told Brother Tom and them, you know, I got my sermon. Brother Tom was like, good luck with that. You know, we'll see if it happens. And he's like trying to lay a challenge down on me. And I said, no, I'm preaching what I got. And he said, we'll see about that. And I bring it up again. I said, man, I turned to him. I said, man, that's good. That's good. He said, we'll see about that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to still preach the same message because there is only one message. And it was brought out in our hearing in the conference. There's only one message, and it's Christ. There is no my message. There is no your message. It's his message. Amen? But my heart has been set on finding him. And the keeping of the man, it really brought it out to me as a young man. Amen. A getting older man. That is what has kept me in the church, because I have been determined that this man's not going to hell. He hasn't always been right. He hasn't always done right. He hasn't always been a good employee. Amen. He hasn't always been a good husband. He hasn't always been a good father. And I'm not looking over there because you're a great dad. That's what they're saying in their heart right now. But I haven't always been. There's been times when I've been beside myself. Amen. There's been times that I've done things that I'm not proud of. But there's a desire in this heart to keep this man. This man doesn't want to go to hell. I do not want to burn in hell. And it's real. It's not a fake. It's not something that we just conjure up to scare people into serving God. And you don't need to be scared into serving God. You need to serve God because he loves you, not because there's a hell out there. Amen. He loves you. Amen. There are absolutely more mistakes than I care to admit. The detours of my own choosing, more than I can count on both hands and feet. Detours that cost me precious time in reaching the place that I find myself standing at this very moment. But that day, something happened in my spirit. Something changed in me. You say, Brother James, you're 48 years old. Just in a few days, you're going to be 49. And that day, 2-3 weeks in the making, you think that God, I'm telling you that God spoke profoundly into my being. I'm talking that God, he touched me. I'm talking about it hit me so hard, if I couldn't have made a fool out of myself, I would have laid down on the sidewalk and wept. Just at that moment when I stepped, just zippity-doo-dah, doing my thing, and all of a sudden, boom, it hit me that I serve a God that is findable. I serve a God that is touchable. I serve a God that is reachable. He is not hiding from me. He's not. Isaiah 59:1 would record this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But I must give you a clear and a certain warning tonight. There is something that blinds the heart from this God that desperately desires. He died, gave his life to reveal himself to you. But there is something that desires to blind your heart from this God that reveals himself to man. There's something that hinders the revelation, the revealing of God. The revealing of who God is. And we talked about revelation this morning. That's another spooky word that we get thrown out there. If you talk about prophecy, which is the witnessing of God, of Jesus Christ, and then you talk about, woo-woo, we make that spooky. The devil only makes it spooky so that you don't proclaim the gospel. And when we talk about revelation, the devil makes that spooky so that you don't understand that there is a day that God is going to deliver your soul from this mess. I don't care what kind of mess you're in. There's a God that's going to deliver this soul from this mess. And I began to feel that begin to move into my being. But there was something that was brought to my attention at that moment that I began to think about. But there is something about me that can hinder me from understanding that. And that one word is pride. Pride. You say, Pastor, you've talked about that several times recently, and over the last year or so, you've mentioned that. And I tell you this, there's nothing in your life that separates you from God that is not directly attached to pride. Directly attached, because that's the only thing that can get between you and God is your pride. That's your will. That's saying, well, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to appear this way. That's your pride, amen? Or I can't say this. I can't witness of the goodness of God because people won't understand, or I might make a fool of myself. That's pride. That's about you. How about saying, God will give me strength. God will be my help. God will be my God. God will go before me. And listening to some of the speakers, one of them, and I'll get confused if I try to nail it on one, but they begin to talk about the difference in your words, amen? The difference in saying, well, I hope God can help me in this. I'm going to pray and see if God won't do this. I'm going to pray in the hopes that God will. No, you don't pray like that. You pray and you say, I serve a God that will. And if he delivered Job, if he brought out Daniel, if he did this, he will surely deliver me.
Amen.
Amen. If he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, he will walk with me through my fiery trial. Be sure you'll go through one. But you got to know who's with you. Never would it have been that their story was told. Never would their story have even graced the pages of the book of the Word of God had they just succumbed to the demand of the enemy. Because all they had to say was everybody else is doing it. That's pride. Amen. That's me not saying I'm willing to stand up for what's right over what I feel I should do just to save my appearance. Amen? And if we could touch back to Mark 4 and 22 for a moment, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither is there anything kept secret, but that should become abroad. The Word of God begins to peel back the layers of the souls of humanity through the prophet Isaiah when he began to write in Isaiah 30 and 8, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to seers, see not, to say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So it's talking about here in this passage that people of their own desire and their own volition would say, we don't want true prophets. We don't want true seers who tell the truth. We want them to lie to us. Amen? To lie to us. I sat there in that conference, and I'm not proud to say this because the Spirit of God was real and moving, but I heard a guy say, yeah, we don't go to church over there anymore because we just didn't feel like we was getting anything, or we was this or we was that. And a man turned around, and I said, I'm leaving because it's about to be cussing time. And there was an older gentleman there fixing to do it. We don't go where we feel like we fit in. If we feel okay coming to church and we feel smooth coming to church, something's wrong. We need to be rattled every once in a while. We need to be shook every once in a while. We need somebody to tell us the truth every once in a while. And it should hurt. It should hurt. I'm not saying there should be abuse by any stretch of the imagination. But the truth should hurt. It shouldn't be, oh, God bless your little soul. Just keep on going. You might make it. Amen? No, we're going somewhere, and I want you to make it.
Amen.
Amen. But tell them to tell us that everything's going to be okay. Smooth things. Speak smooth things. Prophesy deceits. The people of God, those he brought out, those he loved, the apple of his eye, began to cry out, don't reveal us to him. Don't reveal him to us anymore. We don't want to see who he really is. Don't show us. Don't tell us what he has to say. Don't tell us what. We don't want to know anything. Just hide him. Put him in a closet. Put him away. As if by doing that stops the will of God. As if by doing that stops truth. That doesn't change truth just because I don't want to hear it. It doesn't change truth just because I don't want to see it. Tell us smooth things. Don't tell us what he's going to do if we don't do this. Speak smooth things. But God told Isaiah, write these things in a table, note it in a book, that it might be known forever and forever. Why? Why you reckon God would want to do that? Because Isaiah, there's a people that's trying to stamp out. They're trying to hide who I am. And I want it noted in a book from generation to generation to generation that you ain't the first one, baby. Where's the book preached? In church. Where's the book proclaimed? In church. Where's the book taught? In church. To tell the people of God from generation to generation forever, you're not the first one to want to hear it smooth. You're not the first one to want to hear it according to your diet. Let me tell you something. Our diet don't fix God. Our diet don't dictate what the truth is. The truth is forever settled on His Word. Amen? When man's heart begins to trust his own way, when man's heart is no longer convicted by the error and the sin, the pride and the deceit that is in his own life, God begins to fade from view. Amen. The more I get of me, the less I get of God. It's in direct proportion. You turn it up and you turn it down. There's only 100% on the meter. We don't get any better than 100, and we don't get any less than 0. Amen? It's 0 to 100. And when you turn God down to 50%, you get 50% of you. Amen? When you turn God to 100%, there's nothing left of you. Amen? But as long as you give yourself room, you'll fit on the meter. Amen? And so I ask you tonight, have you seen Him? But the answer to this question reveals the heart. The answer to this question is one that lays bare the soul. If you can't see Him, Wednesday was when this message was done. I'm putting that on the record. I'm putting it on the record. Y'all hear me? Wednesday. If you can't see Him, if you can't feel Him, if you can't touch Him, He ain't hiding from you. David went through a place in his life. He was like, oh, where you at? What's going on? What's happening? I look here. I look there. But then he turned around. What's he say? Behold, if I go to the heaven, the heights of heaven, if I go to the belly of hell, if I go here, if I go there, you're there. Everywhere I go, in the good times, you're there. The bad times, you're there. The right times, the wrong times, the end time, the out time, wherever it is, you're there. You can't hide from His presence. And thank God we can't hide from His presence. Because that's the answer to what I'm going through. He can't be hid. Joseph tried to take Mary out of public view. No doubt, even if Mary did understand what was happening to her, no doubt she still didn't want to be under the microscope of her peers when this Jesus came about, when that belly began to show, you know, yeah, Joseph, if you'll hang with me, I'll hang with you. We'll go do this in a corner somewhere and nobody will know. Let's just stay out of view. The only place left for them that night when they were looking for a place to rest was a lowly stable. But let me just remind you that in a stable where nobody else was except for some lowly sheep and some cattle, this or that or the other, there's something that stepped out onto a starry filled night. There's something that stepped out in the midst of darkness. It could have happened in the daytime, but it didn't. Listen to me. It could have happened in the daytime, but it didn't. It was in the middle of the night that the angel stepped out and said, here he is. Who are you looking for? Here he is. He couldn't be hit. Back to the concept of our pride hindering the revelation of who God is. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the word of God. Amen? Amen. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? In the time of need. God's not out here on the racetrack of life with you, and then when you get running low on gas, say, well, no pit stop for you, bub. Make it the best way you can. Coast if you can. See if you can make it. That's not our God. Well, the pastor, the first thing you say is that we are not hid from him. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's aware of my down sitting, my uprising. He knoweth my thoughts afar off. And yea, I say unto thee, yes, he sees it all. I'm thankful that he's seen a few things that I've done because he was able, because I wanted this man to be safe in his presence, because I wanted to keep this man, because I wanted to be the man that he wants me to be, because I want to bring glory to his name. I want this life that I live to bring him glory. He saw it and he corrected me. Amen. Whom he loves, he chastens. Amen. And I'm thankful that he saw it. Amen? Amen. Growing up, there were a few things that my parents didn't see and didn't know. And I left it so. Till one day we were sitting around the table and I was saying, you know, y'all remember that time? Y'all remember this little thing right here? My mom was like, yeah, yeah. I don't remember what kind of little thing she thought I told her. So I didn't lie to her. I just insinuated a half-truth. So I didn't lie to her. You know what that is? A lie. It's a lie. I just kind of let her believe what she wanted to, you know? Sort of like Joseph and his situation. I didn't lie about it, but I didn't tell you the whole truth either. And I could have, and I should have. And so here I was in this predicament. Well, I got shot right here with a BB gun, and my dad would have probably shot me with a real gun. And for the tape, that's not true. If he known that we were playing with BB guns, shooting each other with it, he would not have. I mean, your brother was in that little hunter shack down there in Monroe County and pulled out a BB gun, didn't even have the insert in the end of it. He couldn't have shot a BB out of it to save his soul. But he pulled that trigger and a dust cloud came out and hit somebody in the eye. It might have been you. I don't know who hit an eye. Hit one of them in the eye. My dad, he's better than radar. He's better than all this stuff. He's like in another state. Boom, right there in the room. What's up? Snatches me up. You could have stopped him. I'm like, what in the world just happened, you know? But anyways, got shot in the ear. Didn't tell that story. God saw it. God knew I was letting it kind of. So one night we were telling all, you know, all us kids around the table and probably had our wives and husbands or whoever had what, you know, significant others. And we were sitting there talking. I revealed something that my mom just sort of did that cry, you know, where the shoulders just move? That's deep down cry. She just couldn't believe that her favorite son put that on the tape. Had done something so heinous. But I sat in a tree one day with a pocket knife and just laid that blade up against the rope as my sister swung on that rope swing back and forth. I didn't cut it, Brother Remillard. I don't know what's so funny. I didn't cut it. I just laid the knife up there and let it take it. I mean, I didn't do it. Just laid the blade up there and one strand. Ting, 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 pew. And out across the yard she went. We had a rather large yard. Things flopping. You know, God saw all of that. And this is one of those earthly stories that gives you a heavenly proverb. He saw all of it, but I didn't get by. And I'm so thankful it came out on this side, because I let them believe whatever they want to. That my dad took them two pieces of rope in his hands and looked at them like this. He knew what we were saying, what he was thinking happened had not happened. He knew it. But nobody said James was in the tree, because James folded that pocket knife, left it in the highest branch he could reach, and slid to the ground, jumped to the ground. And he's afraid of heights, but he jumped out in faith, praying that. And I had gotten by. There's been a couple times in life that are stories that I can't tell. I'm way unproud of. But that sometime through a course of the Lord dealing with my heart, I had to go talk to somebody and tell them what really happened. I didn't have to. They didn't know. I didn't have to. They would never find out as far as I was concerned. I had to go tell them because somebody saw. And there's nothing hid from him with whom we have to do. He is not hiding from us. Therefore, he requires us not to hide ourselves from him. You don't believe that's true? Okay, let's talk about your nature. When your child does something wrong and you tell them, all you had to do was tell me. That's it. All you had to do was tell me. And my heart is broken today. Even as of this last week while we were gone, I was talking to somebody. I said, yeah, you heard about so-and-so. And that always gets me in trouble, you know. Because I know I'm about to hear something I don't want to hear, you know. But, you know, this happened and that happened. And I'm walking away feeling like I got lead in my shoes. I can't hardly walk because people do things. And I'm talking about big people. Big people do things that you may never know about. But you serve a God of mercy, love, and grace. Amen. That you can confess your faults. You can confess your sins. You can come clean about them. Because he's not hiding himself from you. And so at judgment day, we won't be able to say, well, I couldn't find you. He knows, and thank God he knows. But that's not the best part of that verse. It is true that I'm not hid from him, but the even greater truth is that he is not hiding from me. Everywhere I go, he's there. He's like, hey, I'm here. You know, you can read it into however you want to, because if we're in trouble, the perception is whether he's not going to like what I have to say. But the truth is that he says, I'm here. Every trouble that you get yourself in, I'm going to be here. Amen? I came home from that conference, and I got my three girls. When I walked in the door, I pulled them close together, told them I loved them. Amen? Told them I told Sister Chloe, I love you, baby. And if you don't clean your room, I still love you. Her room was clean, though, by the way. Amen? She said, thank God. I don't know how to do that. How you do that? How you say that? Thanks, Dad. I love you. Man, thanks, Dad. She loves me too. But you know what? You know where I learned that from? From my Heavenly Father. Because I know there is, and I'm telling you, the road to here is strewn with mistakes. The road to here is if you look back on it, it's full of detours and bypasses, trying to some way get around what I had to face up to. Amen? And yet, here we are today. Not a story to say, boy, Brother James, you've done good. No, that's not what this is about. I haven't done good. Haven't been right. But he didn't hide himself from me. And when I stood in that place the other day, stood and take you back to the spot, trimming those rose bushes. And that message got to that part, and I realized in my soul, I don't think the guy ever said it, but I realized he's not hiding from me. I don't have to beg him to love me. I don't have to convince him to love me. Amen? I don't have to bargain with him. I do this, you do that. We do these things, but that you don't understand what kind of mess you get yourself into when you start bargaining with God. I think it was Brother Carpenter talked about, Lord, if you'll take the Bee Gees out of my heart, I'll serve you. Well, that was the least of his worries, was the Bee Gees. Amen? But he said he did it. But as soon as he did that, he's like, you know what? I got to make a commitment tomorrow about some other things. There's some other things in my life that I need to make a commitment about, and not just the Bee Gees. Amen. Have you seen him? You know, we talk about God as if it's a mystery. And even the Bible has some points, and we'll bring out maybe a couple of them here in just a moment about the mystery. But mysteries are not unfindable. Mysterious things are not unsearchable. Amen? How many of you have ever read a Hardy Boy mystery? I probably read 9,000 of them, probably got 9,000. I mean, just every day, just reading them. But you can find out the truth. What the bump in the cave was not what they thought it was. Amen. It was just something, just this. And great is the mystery of godliness. Great is this mystery. Great is that mystery. Ephesians 5 and 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This is not about husbands and wives. Don't get me wrong. Okay, that's not where I'm going. But let me tell you this. This is a great mystery. But then it turns around and gives you the explanation. It gives you the formula. It's going to be hard to find. It's going to be hard to work out. But here it is. God does not hide himself in Scripture. He reveals himself in Scripture. All it takes is that he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Well, that's the Word of God. I got to read it. You're just splitting hairs right here, because it's the speaking of the Word of God on paper to man. Doesn't it sound almost too good to be true that God loves me? Doesn't it sound too good to be true that God loves his messed up bride? It's hard to understand why this God would love this mess, but he loved us and he gave himself for us so that we might be one with him. 1 Timothy 3 and 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery, but then it turns around and it explains it. Doesn't leave you in a mysterious state. It doesn't say you can't figure it out. It's a great mystery that you can't figure out. It says, no, great is the mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. It's explaining it. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. It's a mystery. It has controversy written all over it, and it's controversial to this day. But that don't mean that the truth is easily findable if you'll trust his word. He that hath an ear, let him hear. The human mind has a hard time grappling with this fact. But the heart that is not content to settle in the controversy finds a way to get into the presence of God so that God will reveal himself to them. Pride has to go. Self has to vacate. Amen. No relationship is ever restored without somebody's ego having to knock down a notch. And all the men say amen. I'm just saying that because that's what everybody always says. But I didn't get an amen. Amen. Smart men out there, I reckon. You better be one to say, my fault, I'll take it, I'll move on. And I'm going to tell you ladies something else. You ought to do the same. You know what? Because ain't none of us squeaky clean. Well, I mean, I am, but that's just because of the shower I had to take this last couple of weeks, but. The shower was about this big. I know that because it was as wide as I am. So I just squirted soap all over and just spun around till it started squeaking. Now I go to home and sleep on that one. I'll be passing out toothpicks after church. We sing to be like Jesus. And the summation of this, the portrayal of this, is found in this phrase alone. If we sing this song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, it's not even found in the song. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. This is going to be pretty simple, but I'm going to use it anyway. Hey, I mean, I already got a plan, Brother Billy. I know where I want to go eat barbecue, you know. I mean, it's in me. I can taste it. So I'm adventurous to a degree, about the same degree as Brother White talked about wanting to go to the store. I mean, if I've ate good barbecue, why go somewhere else and try theirs? I don't need to try theirs. I know where good barbecue is. And so, it was a cramped Tuesday night with no space for nothing, no time to go home and eat. Well, we could go try that Jim and Nick's, and I thought, oh, I ain't had time to ask Brother Tom what they thought about when they went yet. Can I call him? Can I get a witness from somebody before we just take ourselves? And I mean, I'm like this walking in. This ain't going to be good. This ain't going to be good. And sure enough, we go in there, and guess what? I'm like, I get plenty of this old sweet barbecue that everybody gets and likes. Anybody can like barbecue with sugar in it. I want some of that good stuff. That's Carolina barbecue. It got some vinegar in it, some punch. That ain't the kind to get there. It's got kick in it. It goes way beyond punch. It goes to real quick. It is vinegar based and vinegar laced and vinegar paste and vinegar, you just name it, vinegar, it's in it. But, I had to return a trailer to somebody the other day down in Bon Air on 247 and 96, and there's a little white building down there with white diamond right across it. And you ride by it, you probably won't be encouraged to stop in because it's been there a long time and it looks like it. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. And they ain't going to be open till Tuesday because I went down there on Monday and they weren't open. I pulled in there, you know, and whatnot. But I went back, I returned that trailer, and I pulled in there, and they were open. And I went up there to that little window that's about this big. I felt like I was about 3 years old. And although I could see down into there, I felt like I was sitting there with my hands on the ledge as I looked up at that sweet little old lady's eyes. I think she's been there as long as I've been in Bon Air. And I batted my eyes at her. What you want, son? Well, she said, I want a barbecue sandwich. Well, they didn't say nothing about sweet, Sister Mary. You want Carolina style. You want this. You get a barbecue sandwich. That's what you get, a barbecue sandwich. Nothing was hid. I didn't have to worry about something else on the menu. She said, okay, son, what else would you like, hon? I said, a barbecue sandwich. You don't want no fries, no drink. A barbecue sandwich is what I want. And I know she could already tell. She thought he's either foaming at the mouth because he's mad or he's hungry. In both cases, I lose because he's big. And just a minute, poof, out came a barbecue sandwich. I did not go down the road to eat it. I took a picture of it. I did take time to take a picture of it in the wrapper and send it to Darren just to say, sucker. Real quickly, that thing came open. And in just a moment, my mind was transferred back 15 years ago, 17, 18, 19, 20, 30 years ago, when my dad would come home and he would go by there and get a quart of white diamond barbecue and stop by Davidson and get a white loaf of bread. And he would get some plain Lay's potato chips, no ruffles, no ridges, just the plain stuff, and bring it home. And we felt like we had been to Logan's Roadhouse. Nothing hid. It's just the plain old stuff. Let me tell you something. Our desire, my heart wants the sweet stuff. My heart wants to try this and to try that. Let me tell you something. You need to go to the window and you need to say, I've come for one thing. Just give me the sandwich. I don't want that other stuff. I don't want a soda. That's going to fill up where I'm not looking. I'm not hungry for a soda. I'm not hungry for French fries. I am hungry for what you can give me. Because he's not hiding his menu. And you say, well, y'all live for God. That's for simple-minded folks. It's pretty simple. The Bible says it's even so simple that a child couldn't mess it up. Amen. Brother Phil, I hope you go by there tomorrow and something drags you up to the window. Just the sandwich. Where you headed? Frito-Lay, but let me have a sandwich. He probably don't like that kind of bar. Nah, he might not make it either. Nevertheless, not my will. That's pride. My will, pride. Nevertheless, not my pride. Don't let my pride get in the way. Don't let the fact that I could say all kind of things, do all kind of things, propose all kind of things, be all kind of things, all that's got to get out of the way. I'm standing in your presence right now. Not my will, but thy will be it. I found him. I found him. Where did you find him? I found him when I lost me. When I lost the problem. when I lost the situation. Sister Anderson, when I said, it don't matter where I'm at right now. It doesn't matter if this is how my life is going right now. That's not on the forefront of why I'm here. I'm here to find him. You got any problems, Sister Anderson? Some things you need to work out in your life? Some things you need us to pray about? Sure. You got some things you need to deal with, right? But let me tell you something. You also have a God. And if you don't get in his presence, none of that's going to change. If you don't get into his presence, that's going to stay the same. That's always going to be there. But I've got to get into his presence. There was a particular phrase that I'm going to get to here in a minute, and I'm just going to whet your appetite a little bit. To a couple of individuals, a few individuals. And I've even said it a couple of times since then because I can't keep it to myself. But I'm honored to be able to repeat it again tonight. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to go through this and then I'll get to that. 2:7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You said he wasn't hiding. Why you say that? It was hidden before the world was framed. He didn't take no chances on losing you. Hallelujah. I said he took no chances on losing you. He bundled it up before he ever said, let there be. I have never thought this, never. I'm just telling you right now that somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. He didn't take no chances on losing you. Before the world was framed, he hid it, bound up in the bundle of all that, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known it? Had they been in on the scheme? Had they been in on the plan? Sister Mary, he didn't tell nobody. He said, I'm not going to take a chance on losing them for no reason at all. I'm not even going to tell the princes of this world. They're not going to find out what I got hid for those people down the road. If anything happens to them, I'm not going to leave them. Bundled it up and he hid it away for the time that you and I would come on the scene and we would be without God, lost, without hope. We would not be a people. We wouldn't even have a chance. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom. But he ordained from the beginning of the world. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw him. We beheld his glory. He was like the fourth man in the fire. He was like the burning bush in the desert. He was like the still small voice that spoke to the prophet in a cave. He was hidden, but to us he has revealed himself. To the carnal mind, it's blinded to the things of God. It can't perceive the things of God. But to the spiritual mind, the spiritual man, it can see those things. Because he's not hiding himself from us. You say, what's the difference in spiritual and carnal? That is the difference. I don't understand. That is the difference. Carnal, you, spiritual, God. Carnal, your presence. Spiritual, his presence. It's the only difference. It's the only thing between carnal and spiritual. Carnal, that's what I think. That's what I believe. That's what I say. That's what I. Then when you step over here into the spiritual realm, it says, that's what he told me. That's what he's going to do. I know that's all about him. Him, 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 him. You erase I from the equation. And if they had known what they were doing at Calvary, they would never crucify him. And this is the phrase that I was sitting right there in the middle of my puddle of tears and everything going on. This is what I texted out. If they had known what was in him, they would have never beat it out of him. If they would have known what a whip was going to do, what a crown of thorns was going to do, they would have never touched him. They just said, yeah, go ahead. Remain hidden. Remain hidden. But they did not know that beating him was just about to bring and reveal to the world who he really was. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the song at the cross where I first saw the light, it was as a light that shined into the darkness that held me fast. A darkness that I was drowning in, he brought me out of darkness into a marvelous light. He set my feet on straight street, and now I'm doing right. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? He's not hiding himself. He's revealing himself to those who love him. The second time when he comes, it's going to be, it ain't going to be a surprise to those that are looking for him. He's not hiding himself, Brother Phil. It won't be a surprise to those that are looking. How do I look for him? Well, let me tell you how it looks. I'll be here on Sunday. You can count on me, Pastor. I'll be here on Sunday. Is Sunday night too? Yes, Sunday night too. Well, will you be here on Tuesday? I'll be here on Tuesday. I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. Well, what about prayer meeting? I'll be here. What about work day? What about men's? What about ladies? What about youth? What about this? My kids will be there too because they need to find him too. But when I start letting my pride get in the way, it starts giving me excuses. It starts letting me hold back as to who I am and not to who he is. Let me tell you something. I don't know that I can tell you at all. You know, it's just the milk and meat thing again. I would have told you the milk, but I don't know that you, the meat, but I think you're still on the milk. Amen. Only reason you can't get what you need from God is because you don't love him. I think it was Brother Carson said that this week, it ripped my heart slam in two to understand that that is the only thing between me and my God is the amount of love that I have and expressed desire for him. It's not an indictment. It's not him beating over your head. He's just telling you the truth. Everything that Brother White said up here today, he spoke truth. He laid it out just as clean and honest as any it could be laid out before us. We are putting things in or taking ourselves out, taking stuff out, or either we're checking out the good things of God that he's promised to not leave us in a place of want or desire. Amen. He's not leaving us in a place alone. Say, well, it's tough. I wish you wasn't there. I promise you. I wish you were. If there's a button I could push and pop you out of it, I'd pop you out of it. Amen? Families who are going through difficulty, families who are facing financial struggles, families who are facing career changes, families who are facing personal issues, health issues. Amen? I wish that there was a button that I could push, but I can't fix it all. Amen? As a matter of fact, there's very little that I can fix. But I can show you the one that can. He's not hiding from you. In the middle of the fire, I don't even know that they saw him in the fire. But they still went through the fire. I know that everybody outside saw him. I know everybody else could see. And let me tell you this, when you get through what you're going through and it was because of God, they'll see the hand of God and you'll be on the outside going, I didn't see it. But you will have gone through it. You will have made it. Why? Because you didn't let me get in the way. You didn't let my agenda, my this, my wants, my desires get in the way. So tonight as we stand, I want to give you an opportunity to see him before you leave. And I want to see him. I want to see him high and lifted up as the King Uzziah said, or Isaiah said about King Uzziah when he died. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train full of glory. Let me tell you, he's got power enough. He's got victory enough. But I got to see him. And if we have that desire tonight to see him, I'm going to tell you, he will show up in the middle of our stuff. God bless you as you come. Lord, I pray tonight that you would let your hand be upon this people. Lord, the things that we're going through, the things that we're facing, the things that will come tomorrow, they're just a mere bump in the road, God, as to the things that you want to do for us, the comfort that you want to give to us along the way, the peace and the joy and the happiness that you want to put into us, that you will give us along the way. I pray that you'll help my brothers and sisters to know tonight that you're there with them in the fire. You're that in the burning bush. You're the one that calls to them out of the bush. You're the one that's seen them through. Lord, I know that you're not hiding yourself tonight. Reveal yourself to us in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you as you worship him and you seek his face.